What's up, Hoodat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol Podcast. What's up, Hoodat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Drunk, and I'm not Jeff. I'm still drunk from Saturday night, or I'm nursing a hangover. Either way, LSU-Bama was the highlight of the weekend. Now, I will say, I don't know what was more shocking, the fact that the Saints underestimated the Falcons, or that we as fans didn't think that this year's team was capable of something so obvious. The only thing stopping this weekend from being one of the all-time greatest weekends in Louisiana football was the damn Saints forgetting to show up in the Dome on Sunday. Or maybe the Saints wanted LSU to maintain all the glory this weekend. It was a favor, a gesture of goodwill. So I would say this week's show, we've got Scott on, big LSU fan, big LSU guy. This week's show is going to be part celebration and part what the hell is barking in the background and what happened on Sunday. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your dog doing?
The dog is sitting up, looking out the window and barking. So still getting used to the new house. Renee's not here yet, so normally I'd record upstairs, but I don't want to leave these rascals downstairs. Who knows what they're going to chew, but then if I bring them upstairs, they're going to stay upstairs, they're going to bark. So that really wasn't a perfect situation tonight. But
it's Scott's fault.
But I am drinking just a tiny bit. I got my boxed wine in a plastic cup now because, you know, I'm really classing it up.
Stepping it up a notch.
Big time.
Levels.
Big time. So I'll go with 1.5.
All right. And Scott, welcome back to the show. Do you have a number and or you want to explain the sunglasses?
I do not have a number. I have to go to work later. I'm drinking water. Well, the sunglasses. So your boy Gunn was on a couple weeks ago, and he was hilarious, by the way. Y'all should have him on again. But anyway, he was talking about he was wearing his sunglasses, so he wouldn't look directly at the cat, and it wouldn't annoy him during the show. So I'm trying to wear the sunglasses to not look directly at my kids or wife, so maybe they'll stop annoying me. I don't think it'll work, but hey, you know, figure give it a shot.
No, as long as nobody's going to cut anybody's toenails. All right, and we got watching us, Jason, Scott, well, y'all are there. Okay, Adam, Grow, Young, Don, RJ, Pitt says, Hoodat, Wheels is here. Classic Jeff. I guess he's talking about the intro. Vincent Burke says, I'm lying on the leather-studded couch now. Lay it on me. He's ready for his therapy session. Michael Hedden, we needed this loss to humble the team. Now we know what we need to do to win it all. Michael Hedden also says the dog probably is drinking from that Xbox of wine. I added the X. All right. I think we should call it an Xbox of wine. Maybe Microsoft will sponsor the show. Until they do, though, we're going to have to go with the sponsorless game recap.
Son of a bitch! Give me a drink! One more night!
I don't know how to put it other than, well, let me start actually with the Saints fans' response on Twitter and, you know, calling in and whatnot. It's kind of disappointing to me. And I don't know, like, it's kind of like everybody's acting like the sky's fallen, that we just, I know we lost to the 1-7 Falcons, but at the same time, everybody's just, 2 weeks ago, everybody was saying how Sean Payton, coach of the year. Now, I mean, there's people calling for his head.
Oh, that lazy son of a bitch. Oh, he's a terrible coach. He's a terrible play caller.
Put this into perspective.
I mean, it's the same thing with Bama fans calling for Saban to be fired.
I was about to say the same thing. It's just ridiculous.
It's just in the moment, you're angry, you're frustrated. You just lost to the fucking Falcons. Like, I get the anger, but there's so many stupid people out there. I mean, come on. That's why I ignore all that shit. You know? Look, they came out and they played like dog shit. It happens. It happens at least once a year. We were so – the problem is, too, we were so overconfident. We were like, there's no way we're going to lose to this team Sunday. Just absolutely no way. We're talking 50 burgers. you know, we're gonna break the, we're gonna make Matt Ryan cry, shit in his pants, and they just again. The lines just got fucking whooped, and you could tell from the start of the game, as it was going on, you're like, this is just it, and the game was close the whole time, and you're thinking, okay, just something, some kind of momentum getter. The Traquan catch was a great catch, like maybe that'll spur them on, and it was just nope. And at that point, you're like, okay, that's just what today is going to be.
Yeah.
Both lines, offensive, defensive lines. That's the game right there.
All right, Scott, you actually predicted, or at least were worried, that this was going to be a trap game.
Yeah.
Are you happy with yourself?
No, I'm not happy. Why would I fucking be happy? No, I'm not happy.
Because you were right.
I'd rather be wrong in this instance. I kind of fall into the more pissed off phase. I'm not calling for anybody's head, and I understand the bigger picture of we're still 7-2 and still in lead of the division, but I'm pissed. Like, it's the fucking Falcons. Like, if you're going to fucking lose like that, lose against somebody else, not the fucking Falcons. Like, my hate for them is so high. Like, it's
– but this is why. It's games like this that make it the rivalry what it is.
It's not a
we would have evened it up, too, on this one, wouldn't we? We were one game back in the all-time head-to-head.
I know it's very close.
Yeah, it's close. And I think the thing that pisses me off the most is just they looked, like, unprepared. We had a bye week before this. Atlanta had a bye week before this. We spent our time doing fashion shows and getting engaged, and they must have spent time practicing. Like, that's what it looked like. I know that's not what happened, but that's what it fucking looked like. Perception is reality sometimes, and that's what it fucking looked like.
Well,
and
I mean,
I'm pissed.
So, and I because you see people kind of saying, like, telling people, "I'll block you, and you're dead to me if you suggest that that's what it is or whatever." Because it's again, it's like the loss. Everybody's turning on each other for some reason rather than rallying together. But, and I'm kind of with you, Scott. Like, it's not like the engagement party and this and that is not what it was. But it is kind of like they. They lost sight. They lost their focus. And it's not that that was what it was. It was, I think, the bye week after the 7-1 start, the way the 7-1 start, the intensity, the focus that they had, they had to decompress. It's like an instant pot. You had to let the steam out or else they were all going to just blow up. And I think it's just taken 2 weeks to it's going to take two. It's like you have the bye week and this week. Next week, they're going to come back focused. And even like Kyrie Robinson was tweeting, like, this happens. Yeah, this is football. And that's how you know this season's going to be fire from the rest of the way forward. And actually, for once, like, right. Kyrie Robinson, like, because he always just a bit of a hothead on Twitter sometimes. But right. I tell you what, he put it into perspective for me. He's like, this is normal. When I played there, this happened. This is normal for the Saints. It was normal when he was in college. But sometimes this is what you need. It's my crisis. It's my Sean Payton crisis.
It's a crisis. It's normal. But don't do it against the Falcons. That's all I'm saying.
But it's best like, to do it against the Falcons.
Because
if you do it against like the Colts or something or some, like, or some random team. Then...
Do it against an AFC team. Please do it against an AFC team.
I know. But if you did, the fire would only burn about into like week one of the playoffs. This fire is going to go all the way. And that's the other thing I think that I'm happy about is we lost this game on our own. There was no help from the referees. There was no anything like that. Like this was, I mean, there was, but it was us. Like, we lost this game legitimately. And I take a little bit of solace in that. Maybe the NFC Championship game taught us that to where I'm not, I was upset about it, but I wasn't devastated by it.
You were still hungover.
That's a big part of it. That's a big part of it.
Yeah, but also, too, like, I don't want to lose to fucking Falcons, but I'm kind of like, eh. Like, it didn't – and some of that, too, is moving on, not letting the Saints control your life. I mean, when you're, like – you're really devastated because your favorite team lost a regular season football game. Like, come on. Like, you can be mad, be angry. It sucks. I don't want to lose to the goddamn Falcons. But, you know, again, 7-2. That's where
we – I don't think the players did either, right? I mean, the coach didn't. I mean, they're more upset about this, I'm sure, I hope, than we are. And you know they are.
And the good thing, we only
got
a couple.
Showed up. You got to look at the intensity. That's you know. Ask
it was their Super Bowl. It was their Super Bowl.
They showed up like LSU did in Alabama. You know, they showed up and said, "There is no way we lose this game. This is the one game that we have to win, no matter what. If we can lose every other game, They wanted to beat us in our house. We showed up strutting like Teddy Bridgewater behind the dance squad, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Jason Lake says we got hit in the face and we will bounce back stronger. Michael Roser says losses happen. It's how you recover that defines you as a team. Chris Farmer's joined us. And Sansbury says we couldn't run the ball as good old Jim Mora rant about the diddly poo. Now, here's my question is to you. Let's start with Jason. Did the Saints offense suffer because of play calling or execution or both? And I know you said the line, but
right. There's a little of both. I mean, they only ran the ball 11 times. Considering how well Murray has ran the last two games. Now I know Falcons secondary is trash and Trufant ended up, you know, didn't play. It did seem a lot, but again, you know, Atlanta had 7 sacks on the season coming into yesterday and they had 6, you know.
Well, if talking points, Jason.
I'm trying. And that's really where it was just execution, man. If the line plays better, then it's a totally different game. And
now, what do you think about the Terran Armstead's flu comment? Did you hear that part?
He flew.
Sean Payton said, "I don't want to blame it on Terran Armstead's flu."
It's not like it was just him though. The whole line. I mean, maybe McCoy was okay, but. When Pete got hurt, I mean, he was bad when he was in. He got hurt, he came out, and Clapp just got annihilated at guard. And that brings up the problem of Nick Easton. You're paying him $4 million, can't even dress out. Boy, it sure would be nice to slide in Easton in guard. That's why we signed him. $4 million, just bloop, down the drain.
All right, we couldn't run because we wouldn't run.
Now, Scott, exactly. I don't know what. I mean, maybe it's like Jason said, their secondary was garbage. I don't know. Our offensive line was horrible. Like, this is the same offensive line that shut down J.J. Watt, shut down the Bears, shut down all these other fucking teams, Dallas, and they make fucking Grady Jarrett look like an all-pro. I mean, execution.
Do you think, like, Kamara's not 100% and they just – that's part of why they weren't using him?
No, because they didn't use Murray either. I mean, to be honest.
No, it isn't.
You know. absent for sure. No, because, I mean, Kamara was in on a lot of plays. They just weren't, you know, he was lining up in a slot a lot. I don't know if they were maybe trying to use him as maybe like a number two wide receiver or what.
He only carried the ball 4 times, but he averaged 6 yards a pop. So
6 yards a carry. I mean, yeah. Give him the fucking ball.
Right. For whatever reason, they didn't.
So we.
It's not like we were down that. It was not like we were down that much where we had to start throwing it. Like
right.
We could have kept running.
And
the
you
ball.
Threw it 45 times to 11 run plays. I mean, Sean Payton did not. It's almost like when he's got like when you know the argument about Drew and people saying put Teddy in. Like to me, the reason you would say put Teddy in isn't because you think Teddy's better than Drew, but because it's going to force Sean Payton to be a better coach because he's going to have to put together a game plan that has a balanced attack. Jeez,
I don't know.
45 passes. You didn't need to do it.
I mean, this is a standard.
His arm. Is he trying to make up for the missed week statistically?
he's got to get those attempts up. He's got to qualify for all the stats.
Something. Shit. Chris Farmer, I think they partied at Peyton's engagement party. I mean, they might have been hungover. I was. All right, Ben Shirley, that game was tough to watch, but it was not that surprising. It's Atlanta and New Orleans. It's happened before.
It's a classic.
I mean,
Sean
know
Payton.
It's a rivalry game.
Yeah.
throw the records out the window, you know.
It is a classic Sean Payton game, though. Like he's always got these games where, yeah, we pass too much and we just come out playing flat and we just get beat by a team we shouldn't lose to. It happens every year. Seems like
I did see somebody tweet in 2009. I think we lost to Tampa. They were like 2-7 or something. So they're like kind of, you know, we've been drawing comparisons to 2009. So they were kind of drawing that comparison. So,
It happens. It's a little different, but it happens. It happens pretty much every year. There's just a dud game, man. This was it.
And that's okay.
Dud.
Maybe Sean Payton told him, guys, take 2 weeks off. Rest up because we got a long run ahead of us. Jeremy Martin. This game was, in fact, the Falcons Super Bowl. It's important to note that they won it. It's the competition more or less intense, or is the competition more or less intense between division rivals than in the postseason, let alone the actual Super Bowl. That's what he's, I mean, I think the Falcons showed up with more intensity than they did their own Super Bowl that they blew a 25-point lead in. Let's never forget.
Yes.
I can't wait for the Saints. I hate life. Who dat? FML, he added. All right, next question I did have, though. All right, so we couldn't or wouldn't run. Scott, how is it that the Falcons actually found a way to run against a Saints defense that has become known for
lack of execution. Same thing. Both lines sucked. You know, they did run. They didn't have 100.
Over.
I mean, nobody. We still kept our streak of keeping under 100 yards. So I mean,
well, individual
guy,
individual,
because Devontae Freeman got hurt and they brought in Hill.
Right.
But that was part of it too. Their run game. They controlled the clock, and so, you know, all those times we couldn't get off the field on third down, they were just killer.
We had a lot of penalties, like six, uncharacteristic.
Right, six penalties on third down that resulted in first down for them.
So, all right, yeah. So, but the and so you can't say like the NFL screwed us because we shot ourselves in the foot. It was, and it, you said six.
Six first downs by penalty.
First downs by penalty. 12 penalties overall. Okay, and there's a lot of those. Remember, there was that one drive that I felt like we had the Falcons stop. We gave the Falcons like 50 yards on that drive. They just kept moving down the field because of us. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a total disaster, but this is just uncharacteristic. It's so much – everything points to lack of focus. Yeah. Their heads were not – how is your head not in the Falcons game? The Falcons, division rival. We didn't treat it like a division rival. We treated it like the Miami Dolphins. How are you going to tell me that – and Sean Payton doesn't get that. He gets it. All these players get it, but they weren't focused. There's like, for the entire team to not be focused.
I mean, look what just happened. Breeze got hurt. They went 6-0.
And then we get everybody healthy, and we can't even beat the Falcons.
That is the craziest thing. We were the healthiest.
Didn't even score a touchdown.
Yeah, didn't even score a touchdown. Didn't even score double-digit points.
First time no double-digit points in the Superdome in how many games? 100-and-something games or something?
We were one away from tying the record.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can't tell me this is an anomaly. Like, there's not a
why not?
Explanation.
It's a dud game. It happens.
It's a dud game.
It happens.
It sucks.
They had to be focused on something else.
Maybe.
Maybe they were looking ahead. Maybe they didn't want to show the Falcon. We got to play them again in 3 weeks. Maybe we got a few of these division games. Like, hey, throw this one away.
And Jeff, something you kind of said, I think you had Texas, like the play calling was very like vanilla, I think you had said.
Yeah,
and
there was this one time they threw the same pass twice in a row to the left side, and then a little while later on like the next drive, because they couldn't get a fucking first down, they go and they do two passes to the right, same exact play. I mean, it's Carl Smith's playbook. Yeah, I don't know. In a row, it's not even like you recognize, and when I'm recognizing plays, you know, it's pretty easy.
It was so bad that it almost seemed like intentional. Like, I don't know. Like, was Peyton trying to create this crisis? Was he trying to show, hey, we're not so fucking great, you know, kind of thing?
He wants to keep Dan Quinn around.
Dan Quinn was close to getting fired. And that's the other thing, yeah. All right.
I mean, it was so bad it almost seemed intentional.
Okay, so as you look at the rest of the season, what does this loss mean?
I mean, if we bounce back, nothing.
I think it'll
bring them together, galvanize them to, you know, finish strong. I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, it's not the worst thing like that to get a loss like this. I mean, it's the NFL. It happens.
Now, if they go out and next week and do the same thing, then I think we got
right. Then you can start to worry a little bit.
Yeah. What about how it affects, like, again, you know, the seeding with San Francisco and Green Bay, even Seattle, even? I mean, Seattle's got two losses right now.
I mean, and shit. Seattle's playing San Francisco tonight, so, you know.
I mean, not another situation where we have to go play a wild card team in their stadium.
No, especially like in Green Bay in the snow. And I mean, it was fucking snowing yesterday, you know. Imagine what it's going to be like in January. You know, you don't want to have to go there.
It's crazy that two losses. But now, and that's the other thing, though, keep in mind, everybody. It is two losses, and you have a bunch of teams with two losses, but there's still seven more games to play in the season. Well, that's a lot of football.
And a lot of these teams are going to play each other. I mean, Seattle plays San Francisco twice. We've got to play San Francisco. You know, they got to play the Rams. It'll shake itself.
It'll shake out.
All right. Anything else y'all got to say about this game? Because,
I think the big thing coming out of the game – big thing coming out of the game is the Lattimore injury. I mean, I think.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah.
Have you heard anything about that?
That's what I've heard.
Strained hamstring.
Yeah. Oh, those things can either linger or go away.
So you got to assume he's going to miss a few weeks, at least.
And we got Mike Evans next week.
Yeah, Mike Evans and Godwin next week.
I don't know. It might be a track meet.
That helps. It helps. But
might be a track meet.
I mean, you got to think maybe he'll be back for Atlanta, but I would say probably not. So you're looking at maybe at least three games without him. Maybe it's better than we think. I mean, hell, we thought Eli Apple was going to be done for the season, and he suited up the next game. Yeah. So.
And has anybody heard anything on Michael Thomas? I know the trainers were looking at him after that last play. I haven't heard anything.
No idea.
No, but he did have, 13 catches or something?
13 for 152.
Yeah, the next wide receiver was Tre'Quan Smith with one catch.
Yep.
And
well, Ginn did drop a few.
Yeah. And so did Tre'Quan.
Yeah. But when Tre'Quan, he caught that one, that kind of made up for it when he got
– he lost his helmet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does it worry you looking ahead and as you get looking at the playoffs and you start to realize that you do have a singular threat at wide receiver and that's it, even though that one threat is two players worth?
Well,
I don't think it's anything new.
Right. I mean, they know that. Well, but
yeah,
also,
it's actually, yeah.
I mean, look, Jared Cook had another solid game, 6 catches, 74. So, you know, he's turning into the weapon that we thought he was going to be. So, yeah. It's a good thing.
I mean, it's the same thing as last year. I mean, we –
yeah.
You know,
well, I mean, you're right. I mean, we walked into playoffs with less threats last year. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we would have won the Super Bowl. Okay. All right. I want to move us on to look at him tweets.
He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go.
Looks like this one's from Wheels. It must be opposite day today. He sent this yesterday. Run defense is garbage. O-line is a sieve. Kick returner is exceptional.
He did have some good returns yesterday.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he did. That you talk about that momentum shift. There was one that he almost broke for the touchdown that I was like, okay, there you go. Let's roll. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Couldn't capitalize on it.
We should have had a Taysom Hill play, like to pull the momentum back in, like have him truck somebody. That would have that would have kickstarted it. Man. He did throw a nice pass to Michael Thomas. Hell of a catch by Michael Thomas.
Yeah, just
when
dig
you come
it.
Taysom threw a pass to Michael Thomas.
Oh,
did you not watch
that? I might have actually dozed off for a second. That did happen once or twice. All right, I was curled up on the couch. All right, Aaron King, I don't want to hear about the refs. I want to hear about Sean Payton's game plan or lack thereof, how he abandoned the run, and the penalties the Saints actually committed, dumbasses from the coach to the towel boy. So here's the anger sent again. This was immediately following the game.
Right,
it's excusable. And he followed it with, the problem is always Sean Payton's cockiness. Bet he didn't even consider that the highlight to the fail clown season would be beating us in the dome. We got caught sleeping in a coma. Fuck the Falcons, and this shit should not be happening. And that, I guess that's kind of the question, right? It goes back to how did he let the team – not
like I said, it almost seemed intentional. I don't know.
I mean, you think about how much preparation they put into each week, and the amount of preparation that you put into each week, you expect at least a touchdown in the Superdome against the Falcons.
At least the Falcons that are as bad as they've been this year. Right. You do. but
yeah. Eh. All right. Maybe Sean Payton did like Dan Quinn and he let somebody else do the play calling. Like, you know, his fiance's son, if she has one. I don't know.
He was out partying with Vince Vaughn too long.
Hey there, little tacker. You want to call a few plays? All right, let's see. CJ, who dat Chris, says, I can't believe I spent that much on beer in the dome for that shit show performance. But as usual, I love my team, and I'm a Sunday alcoholic, and will continue to buy $12 beer.
Yeah. I know. I think probably I ended up buying it. I ended up buying two at the game, one draft, and then I go back to get it. It's like, oh, yeah, I'll take a draft. Oh, we're out. Meanwhile, they're out, the guy's pouring, and the beer's coming out. I'm like, what are you talking about? What the fuck are you talking about? It's pouring, and then it goes out right then and there. So
they ran out of beer? Wow.
Draft beer. Draft beer, yeah.
Oh, still.
But still, yeah, still cost, yeah. It's hard. It's hard to drink in the dome. It really is.
All right. Daniel Benet says, I think the state of Louisiana used up all of its voodoo Saturday night. Go Tigers. It's the only thing that makes sense and why the Saints played so horribly. At this point, I'll take any explanation. Jeremy Martin, Jason,
can I ask Jason, how was the crowd? Did it seem, were they pumped? Did it seem like they were kind of mellow or how were they?
It definitely seemed pumped at the beginning. And we tried. There just wasn't a lot to cheer about. I mean, we were ready. It just didn't, you know, it seemed normal.
Once again, if there was any kind of hangover effect.
I don't think so. But, I mean, there were a lot of people, once again, wearing LSU shit to a Saints game, which just continues to absolutely baffle me. I just don't understand why you feel the need to wear an LSU hat to a Saints game. I just don't. I don't get it.
Are you okay with somebody wearing a Saints hat to an LSU game?
It never happens. You've never seen that, ever.
I'm going to wear a Saints hat to an LSU game this year.
Do it.
Just for you.
And you're gonna get side-eyed looks. I'm telling you, it is one of these unsolved darndest things. That's all I can say. It's a darndest thing.
We should do a documentary on Netflix for that,
right?
Especially since they took all the Disney stuff down. Now you saw that.
Yeah. I mean, comes out tomorrow.
Yeah. That's right.
All right, Jeremy Martin. Why does the Saints offense, which has all this talent at the helm, in the line, in the receivers, Thomas Cook Hill, and the backfield, occasionally get completely shut down? You know, we talk about this happening every year, and that is a legitimate question. How is it that this the most amazing offense in the history of the NFL sometimes gets, I mean, not just held back, but completely shut down?
I don't think it's just us. Like, it happens to other teams too.
You just don't see it. You don't notice it.
You don't notice the Green Bay got fucking shellacked last week. You know.
Remember, we did it in 2009 to the Patriots and the Giants.
Yeah.
And every other team we played.
I mean, we fucking pulled – we got Tom Brady pulled out the game. I mean.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it. It just happens. Yeah.
Emotion. It's motivation. It's sometimes you get up for the game or you don't.
Like the Bermuda Triangle. Sometimes you disappear and sometimes you don't.
Like Bermuda shorts. All right, Davis Douglas. Any given Sunday in full effect, guys. Remember the Jets? Remember the Jets beat the Cowboys? The Browns beat the Ravens? Of course, I'm disappointed, but now Thanksgiving cannot come soon enough.
Right? Right.
Correct.
Paul talks about how important, how on purpose it might have been. So it was voodoo. It was on purpose. They were hungover, and they took 2 weeks off. All right, how can a team that is superior to another in talent coaching lose a four-quarter game because they underestimated their opponent? If they're the better team, why couldn't they just make adjustments and throughout the game? So yeah, tell me about that part. Like, okay, you come out flat first quarter, second quarter, but you didn't make adjustments. The only adjustment they made was to throw the running plays in the garbage.
Well, hold on. Well, even adjustments aren't going to overcome the fact that the offensive line is playing like dog shit. I mean, maybe Peyton looked at it and said, you know what? The line doesn't have it today. Our best chance to win is just chuck it around. I mean, if you can't block for the running backs, at least give Drew a chance. Maybe that's it. I don't know.
That didn't work either. 6 sacks later.
It didn't, but maybe that's what he was thinking of. You know, huh. It's possible. It's because sometimes you look at team, I'm like, yeah, we don't have it today. Like, he knew they didn't have it.
He probably knew they didn't have it before they ever came out on the field. You could feel that. You could feel it. And, I mean, that actually is – you know what, Jason? That is a believable explanation. Absolutely. Hey, they don't have it. Best chance we're going to have right now is to put it in Drew Brees' hands and sling it around. Find an open guy.
Right. Hope it works. Hope Teddy can catch.
And that happens in all of sports. Like, I mean, if you look at baseball, I mean, there's games where you come out and you lose 16-0, and the next night you come out and you're, you know, your, you know, pitcher goes no hitter. It's just, yeah. You know, it's just it. Football, it's a little more immediate because the season is so short. I mean, of the three leagues, it's the shortest season, so it's every game has a certain level of importance.
Yeah.
So when you lay a dud, it's like amplified by times 10.
And then when you lay a dud against your division rival,
stings.
Yes, of course.
Mordecai, with Lattimore possibly missing time, do you think our defense will be able to handle the loss at cornerback, or is it time to panic? It's coming at a terrible time since we face Mike Evans and Chris Godwin next week. Y'all said that earlier as well, too. Well, we just might as well not read tweets. Y'all just hit all the points before we get to them.
It's not quite time to panic yet, but
if we lose next week, are you panicking?
Depends on how we lose.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'd be a little worried. I wouldn't panic, but I'd be very disappointed.
Hey, well, we could still go 7-9.
Oh, God. No, we can't. No, we can't.
Vince, God, so can the Falcons. All right, Big Easy Gaijon on the stream said, I stayed up until 6 a.m. in Tokyo to watch this shit show. But he tweeted about an hour ago that said, this game boiled down to three things, all correctable. We gave up six sacks. We gave them like six first downs via penalty. And the defense sucked on third down. All things very correctable. And I'll be honest with you, even after Lattimore went down, I don't feel like I noticed the Falcons get any better in their passing game.
Matt Ryan only threw for 180 yards. Yeah. So it's not like they threw it all
and
over.
One of them, I think, it was like a 54-yard play, wasn't it?
Yeah, and Eli Apple did a great job stepping up as the number one. I mean, Eli Apple is becoming one of my favorite players on this defense. His mom has a lot to do with that too. I just love her Twitter.
Yeah, her Twitter is pretty good.
She's fire.
It was just not being able, you know, they converted a lot of third downs. That's it was just killer, extending the drives for them and controlling the clock. It's brutal. Just brutal to watch there.
And there's an interesting fact. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? Davis Douglas says, did you know that Breeze and Ryan have faced off against each other more times than any other two quarterbacks in the Super Bowl era? I did not know that.
I didn't.
I did not know.
I mean, I guess so. It would be more than what? Who else would you say? Manning and Brady, but not really, because no. They wouldn't have played two times a year.
No, it's got to be divisional opponents.
A division.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty interesting. And I'm sure
and it kind of shows too the kind of the strength of our division. You know, we play one of the toughest divisions in the I mean, I know it doesn't look like it on paper right now, but we do, you know, look at some other look at the Patriots division, you know?
Right, it's not the
every
AFC
other
East.
Team every other team except for the Patriots has a rotating quarterback, you know.
Yeah. That's true. All right, that's all I got for look at him tweets.
Uh-huh.
Let's do a quick change over here.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. He's going even further.
Up,
it's not just the hat.
Just the hat. On, please.
We're going full-on wardrobe change. Welcome to the Go Show, right? The Coach O.
It's gumbo time, everybody. Uh-huh. Two scoops.
All right, LSU won the national. I mean, they won in Alabama. The way LSU fans are acting, you would think they were the Falcons that beat the Saints in the Superdome. All right, real quickly, we won't spend an exorbitant amount of time on this topic, but because we are a Saints show before anything else. But hey, LSU, if you are going to say something good about this weekend, how about them Tigers?
It was an amazing game. Nerve-wracking at times, but I mean, fucking Joe Burrow, man, put on the show. Him and the running back, Hilaire.
Oh, Hilaire, Hilaire was a grown ass man last week.
He was a Latavius Murray.
But. I got to watch the first 45 minutes to an hour, and then I had to go. My niece was in a play, so I DVR'd it, left, came back, didn't want to know anything, so I came back, watched it. But when we talked about it last week with Luke, you know, if not now, then when? You know, we knew coming in with a great defense and a shit offense was not going to work. It hasn't worked for 8 years. This is the best chance that we had, a team that can score points. And look, we had to score 46 to beat them. But they were able to do that. Just incredible. Just that big lead at the end of the half, scoring those two touchdowns in like 30 seconds. You're just like, okay, this is it. And then Bama did come back, but every time when Burrow needed
an answer for him.
Right. Yes. And that's the difference.
Well, and to do it in Bama, right, it tells you – I mean, right. At this point, though, you have to believe – I mean, yes, they're ranked number one, but you have to believe that LSU is – it's the favorite to win the national championship. Who else, I mean, Ohio State, do you really believe Ohio State can beat LSU?
I think they could.
They could?
Yeah. I think they're good enough. I can't definitively say for sure. Time. I would feel confident about LSU, but that's what they've done. They've made me feel confident about them. But Ohio State has just as much talent. They could win the game. So it's not like LSU is a clear favorite.
I don't know. After Saturday, I feel like they are.
Yeah, I mean, Bama's, you know, just been a juggernaut for so long, and to just go into their stadium and beat them was just unbelievable. I mean, you know, it almost was kind of like their Super Bowl in a way. You worry about a hangover or a trap game next week against Ole Miss. So, you know, they'll kind of prove some stuff, you know, next week, I think, too, how they react and respond. I mean, you saw, you know, all the crowd that showed up at the airport when LSU got home, and, you know, it was very kind of reminiscent of the Saints, you know, showing up at the airport, and it was just great. It was a great time. Jeff and I watched the game together, and we had a good time after. We had to shuffle some seats around a little bit for some good luck purposes. Yeah. But other than that, you know, it was a really good time.
It was really interesting. I mean, when we were sitting a certain way, they were playing really well, and then seats got shuffled a little bit, and they started playing bad. We went back to the original seating arrangement, and they turned it back around. Yeah.
Funny I think how
when
that works.
When that girl left, and that's when I kind of kicked in.
That girl.
I saw something earlier that I don't know if it was the first half had LSU, the points LSU had scored, or the most points scored on a Nick Saban team going back. I think it was like some maybe 20 years to when he was at Michigan State. He hadn't had that many points scored against him since back then. And it was Michigan State against Purdue, and Drew Brees was the quarterback.
Yeah, they really lit it up. I mean, Burrow, yeah, he completed his first, 13, 14 passes, I think. Yeah. The offense, you know, they were confident, they were crisp, they executed. Like, they had the belief that they could win, and they actually pulled it off.
Yeah, Chris Farmer says, no way Coach O lets them overlook Ole Miss. He always wants to destroy them.
Yeah,
that's true because, you know, he was there.
So. Yeah. What you doing with your life?
he's being like the Tuscaloosa Stadium, like in Alabama. Where the lights keep flashing off. Yeah. That was quite – Jeff's like, is something wrong with my television? Like, he was legit worried that something was wrong with him. I'm like, no, dude, that's the lights. He's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't like them lights. Yo, y'all need to leave them lights on. Quit flickering. You'll waste electricity.
It was pretty cool to see. It was pretty cool to see those lights. It was a little annoying at times, but it was pretty cool. I'd love for LSU to get ignored.
Yeah,
that would LSU get something like that. That would be pretty sweet.
Absolutely. All right. That's it for the LSU piece. So I guess now it's time for pick'ems.
Time to play the game.
<That's right>.
You don't need to play. Now you play it.
Jeff, you went 3-2 last week. You won the week out of the three of us, so you're sitting there at 24-21. I went 2-3, so I'm still above 500, but I'm 23-22. And Luke, ooh, Luke went 1-4. Not a good week not a good week for Luke.
Greenbaum went. He's on the show. We should give him his record too. 1-4. Well, you were in the lead. You had Pick'ems by the balls this whole season, and you, like the Saints, just showed up and crapped a bit. That's what you did.
Which really upset me because I was really hoping to guest one time on the show.
Nope, now you won't be invited.
Nope,
on the show.
Nope, not at all.
But Mike will be happy.
Not if some people, have their stuff. Yeah.
All right. Now, and one thing to point out, Neil went 4-1. And I got to tell you what, over the last few weeks, Neil has climbed out of the basement. We really can't rag on Neil for being in last place. He's kind of in the middle. He's one game out of 500. But the larger league, you do have Mordecai is in the lead. Gunn, that's your boy. With a 29-16 record, followed by Sans Hobbs, Desi, then Greenbaum. So you're not completely out. You're three games back. Tom Insign, Jake, me, Christian, Mino, Drew, CJG, Wheels, Ryan Angier, Jason, Davis Douglas, Neil, Triple D Kennels, Who Dat Fitz, Trevor Scott Bruno, Big Easy Mafia, The Mailman, Oh Who Dat Be, Me So Mad, James from the UK, King Nola, Chris McGuire, Big Easy Guy, John, DJ Z, and Pastor Not. But that, of course, was never published.
I think Neil's just taking some inspiration from Coach O when he said, "We coming.
We coming.
We coming. We Roll coming. Tide. What? Fuck you."
That was fucking great.
No, that was great.
That's like
that was great.
Recruiting 101. I mean, that's going to fire up some people. Speaking of recruiting, did y'all see the LSU players go to where the Alabama recruits were sitting in there? And
they're like, "That was fun. Come on over here. Come on over
Come on.
All right, so we moving on from LSU.
Yeah. Oh, one other thing I will say, when Coach O's post-game interview, fighting those tears back in his eyes, man, that right there, that's why I think the Sunday game is an easy pill to swallow, right? He just filled you with enough emotional stability to get through it.
That's great for him. Such a big win for him. He always talks about the state of Louisiana and all this kind of stuff. And considering when we hired him, a lot of people thought we didn't know what the fuck we were doing.
Right? And, me too. I was in the boat. I was in that same boat. Like, oh, really?
And it's
mediocre guy.
It's worked out. He's pulled the right strings.
Rumor has it did sign Joe Brady to an extension today.
Well, that would be great.
Lucrative extension.
That would be great. Keep him around for sure. All right. Getting into this week's slate of games. I'm not sure who's on a bye. I didn't check that out. I know there's going to be a handful of teams on a bye, but we've got two pretty good matchups. One that looked good at the beginning of the season, but it's kind of fallen on, and a bunch of bad games. So we'll start with one that's interesting in terms of the point spread. The Arizona Cardinals coming off a close loss this past week. I believe, I don't know. I guess I should have checked beforehand. Let me double check.
You're prepared.
Oh, I'm very prepared. Yes, they did lose to Tampa. They lost by 3 to Tampa. So Arizona can score some points, but they lost 3 in a row. They travel to San Francisco.
Would you say they're in a tailspin?
They travel to San Francisco, play the 49ers, who are playing tonight against Seattle. That game has not begun, but currently San Francisco is the last unbeaten team. It's in Frisco. 49ers are favored by 13.5.
Whoa! Wow. You know what? That's too many points. Last time, though, I said that, and whoever it was that had a 13.5 spread covered. But like you said yourself, Arizona can score. So I'm going to say that they stay within. So I'll take an Arizona.
I'm going to take Arizona.
Yeah. Yep. Go ahead, Jason. Sorry.
I'm taking Arizona as well.
Yeah, I'm with Arizona as well. That's just too many points.
Division game, too.
Yeah.
And if there's one thing we know about division games.
All right, our next game. The New England Patriots leaving the cozy confines of the AFC East. They are coming off of a bye. They travel to Philadelphia to play an Eagles team who I believe was also on a bye this week.
How is Philadelphia? Is Philadelphia being quiet right now this year?
I mean, they're not. What are they, 4-4 maybe? I mean, they're kind of respectable. They're 5-4. 5-4 right now.
Yeah.
So
I was going to say, they're not – right, they're not
– they haven't been great, but they haven't been shitty. Right. So, so this game's in Philly. Both teams coming off a bye should be refreshed. Although based on what we saw from the Saints, who knows? One team may come out flat. But Philly is getting 3.5 at home.
They're getting?
They're getting 3.5 at home. So I'm taking I'm taking the home dog with Philly.
All right, Scott, you go.
I'm thinking.
All right, well, while you think, I will also take Philadelphia. I'm not confident about this pick, but they're a home dog, as Jason put it.
I'm taking the Pats. Patriots.
I mean, right. It's a safe pick.
Yeah. All right, I mean, now
we'll see.
Now we've got the Sunday night game. Looked really good at the beginning of the season. The Chicago Bears, who are trying to right themselves from said tailspin. They beat Detroit this week, 20-13. Mitch Trubisky throws 3 touchdowns. What? They travel to Los Angeles to play a Rams team where Sean McVay is no longer the wonder kid that everybody thought he was. Rams really struggling. Jared Goff really struggling. They lose to Steelers this week, 17-12. So, good thing they signed Jared Goff to that massive extension. A couple of picks. You know, so this game is in L.A. The Rams are favored by 6.5.
The Rams are giving up 6.5?
Yes, they're giving up 6.5.
Because it's the Bears, yeah.
So the Rams are sitting there at 5-4. The Bears are sitting there at 4-5.
I'm taking the Bears. The Rams are garbage right now.
The Rams are garbage.
Not that the Bears are that much better, but I see probably a low-scoring game.
I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm taking Mitch Trubisky. It just goes to show you how bad Jared Goff is playing right now.
6.5. I will take the Bears as well. Their defense is going to keep them in. I know. I actually was going to take the Rams just to be different, but okay. That's not the game to do that with.
Okay. Well, maybe it's the next one, which is our game of the week, the Houston Texans. Coming off, I believe they were on a bye this week as well. Yes, they were on a bye. They travel to Baltimore to play a Ravens team that just put it on Cincinnati this week. Wasn't really surprising, 49-13. But Lamar Jackson continues to just play out of his mind, make an MVP case. He threw for 3 touchdowns this week. He ran for another 65 yards and ran for a touchdown. Guy's just been a monster. Now this week, you know, Houston isn't the Bengals. You know, they're not the Bengals, but they get to go against Deshaun Watson, who's been playing really well. You know, Houston, they beat Jacksonville in London their last game. Baltimore is at home, and they're favored by 4.
Oh, that was my threshold. All right, I'll go first just to see if you want to go different.
Yeah, and I'll do the opposite of whatever
all right,
you do.
I will take Baltimore, and that means you're taking the points.
Baltimore.
Oh.
Butt hooked you.
Baltimore three-way.
All right. We all believe in Baltimore, huh?
Yeah, I'm a believer. They're the
Lamar Jackson, baby. Right. Fantasy football god.
All right, and now our shooting game of the week.
Here we go. Of shit car, I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far. My car's a big.
We've got a team that's been in here probably a few times this year. The New York Jets, coming off a loss to their crosstown rival Giants, 34-27. They travel to Washington to play the Redskins, who were coming off of a bye last week. They had a big issue with their offensive lineman, Trent Williams. He was injured, then he wasn't injured, then they're putting him on the do not perform list. They're not paying him. It's been a whole fiasco. The Redskins are by far the worst franchise in the league. I really hope Joe Burrow doesn't find a way to get stuck there next year. Because that, if there's something that could derail Joe Burrow's NFL career, it would be the Redskins. So that's the one thing to hope for.
Yeah, I hope he pulls the Eli Manning if he does, if something like that happens.
This game's in Washington. Redskins favored by 1.5. Dwayne Haskins will be starting the rest of the way.
right. Chuck out.
This time I'm really going to take the opposite of whatever you take, for real this time.
All right. Well, then. Oh, so I got to go first then? All right. Yeah. I'll take the Jets.
All right. Give me the Redskins. Can't believe I'm doing that. All right.
Give me the Jets.
All righty.
All right. So as a refresher, our games, Arizona at San Francisco. San Francisco favored by 13.5. New England at Philly. Philly getting 3.5 at home. Houston at Baltimore in our game of the week. Baltimore favored by 4 at home. Chicago at the Rams. Rams favored by 6.5 at home. And then our shitty game, the Jets at the Redskins. Redskins favored by 1.5.
All right. Get the tweets in before the kickoff, and we'll make sure we catch them, and we'll post our updates on Monday morning. In the meantime, let's get into Saints preview. Where the Saints take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the second of our November division matches. As y'all mentioned earlier, we got Mike Evans and with Chris Godwin.
Chris Godwin, yep.
With no Marshawn Lattimore.
Maybe.
Probably. Probably. I would assume no. I mean, yeah, so, you have to assume no. The question is, what about Andrews Pete? I don't guess we know anything else about his injury. Great.
Hopefully a flueless Armstead.
Would it matter with Pete out?
Well, yeah, you got to go with Clapp. Clapp struggled this week.
But Clapp didn't struggle the last time, Pete. This week. Well, right. I am sorry, but I'm subscribing to the theory, excuse number 7, that they were hungover, distracted, or not. I don't think this has to do with their like. Will Clapp is a good player. Will Clapp stepped in and played like a maniac the last time Pete got hurt, or whoever it was that got hurt.
Yeah, was he really a whatever. Maniac?
He was good enough.
I'm a maniac.
He's a maniac. Maniac. Did you eat paint chips as a child? No. Will Clapp is good enough to step in and play. This game was the anomaly. This is not what you can expect. We know this team better than what you got Sunday. I'm not concerned about the O-line yet. Unless now they come out and do this again, then there's concern. But we shouldn't be concerned about the offense. We shouldn't really be concerned about the defense, except for if Lattimore's out. But I still think they could – if you get pressure up front, then that'll make – who's going to be your number two cornerback now? Because Apple steps up.
Is it going to be PJ, Patrick Robinson, Gardner Johnson? It's got to be one of those three.
Please do Gardner Johnson.
Yeah, I like Gardner Johnson.
I mean, I don't know. The way these receivers have been, Godwin's been one of the best receivers in the league this year.
Okay. Kind of like I said earlier, I think it might be kind of, depending on the cornerback situation, might be kind of a track meet. Their cornerbacks are pretty bad. I think we threw all over them last game. Last time we played them. Kind of depend too if our receivers decide they want to catch the ball, you know, Ted Ginn and Traquan. We know Michael Thomas probably will, but, you know, hopefully this game will, you know, the Falcons game woke them up and they're now woke, as they say. We can go out there and get a W.
I mean, you would think they're
going to eat a W.
you would think that they're going to come out really, really motivated to with a fire under their ass. So that'll be something to look for.
They should. I mean, it's another divisional game.
The worst thing for Tampa was what happened to us this week. It's the worst thing for Tampa Bay because, again, everybody talks about how this happens to us every year. And look, yes, how it you know what it doesn't do? It doesn't send us into a tailspin. It does the opposite. It sends us into a takeoff.
Yeah. I appreciate the effort. At least you tried.
I tried. I was going to say, like, tail up, or I don't know, whatever.
That sounds like the Falcons marketing department right there.
It really does. You're right.
Tail up, everybody. Shake our tail feathers.
Ooh, the guy with the hammer or whatever. Yeah. All right. What do you think the score is going to be? Score prediction.
Oh man,
this is a hard one now after last week, isn't it?
Right.
I am just so worried about the. I know I just said the offense, but I'm. I feel like we're just too predictable. No, what are they going to do? Well, Drew Brees is going to throw it. That's what they're going
to do. I honestly think we're going to run the shit out of the ball this week. We're going to go completely bend over backwards and go the other way. It might run 65%.
Okay. Yeah.
Control the clock. Basically do the same thing the Falcons did to us.
I'll take it.
So I'll go 27-21.
I'm going to go a little higher. I'm going to go 45.
Oh, 30. Shit.
That's 45 to 30. Hey, like I said, I think it's going to be a track meet. I got to back it up with my score prediction.
Right? I mean, yeah, I agree, track meet. I mean, Tampa's going to put up points. And I get what you're saying, Jason, but if they're throwing the ball on us, we're not running the ball 65% of the time. So I'm going to say 34-31. Saints win with a last-minute field goal.
All right.
Hey, let's have a good game.
Yeah. Back. He's the only guy who scored.
Got his mojo back.
But he did, yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, just let him kick in the dome. That'll get his mojo back.
Right.
There you go.
So.
All right. Any final thought?
Just really, really neat. Really need a big bounce back win here. We can't afford to fall behind some of these other NFC teams. Really can't.
No. All right. Then if y'all got nothing else.
Oh, is this final thoughts? I didn't hear you say it.
Yeah. Do you have a final thought?
I do have a final thought. It's not sports related.
That's okay. Is it politics related?
Sort of, but not. No, it's human related. How about that? Don't have hate in your heart. Love everybody, no matter what their beliefs, no matter what their religions. Just make the world a better place and love everybody. Don't not do something that you would normally do because of your hate for somebody else. It's like you drinking poison and expecting to hurt the other person. Don't have hate in your heart.
Hmm. Except for Falcons.
Except for the Falcons. Fucking hate the Falcons.
Fuck everything, but fuck you the most. Fuck everyone.
All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Follow us on Twitter for daily conversation. Like us on Facebook to watch live broadcasts. Subscribe on YouTube to watch or to listen as an alternative to your podcast app. And, of course, if you don't want to listen on any of those methods, you can always do it the old-fashioned way. Go to DomePatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, streaking donkeys.
Good night, Houdat Nation.
You, fuck 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 you,
fuck you, fuck you.